Sport on Highland, brought to you in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Go the distance with a great range of running shoes, sports gear and accessories at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be talking Donegal and Derry Club Championship action this weekend with Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat and Michael McMullen from the County Derry Post. Soccer-wise, Finn Harps have a big cup quarter-final on Friday night against Dundalk. We'll be getting the thoughts of former Harps captain Keith Cowan ahead of that one. And it's a double weekend of action in motorsport. The Bushwhacker Rally on the gravel roads in the forests of County Tyrone. And on the tarmac, the Cork 20 is taking place as well. We'll look ahead to both of those events for Donegal competitors with Killian Duffy from On the Pace Notes. But we're going to start with Gaelic Games. Round one of the Donegal Club Championship will conclude this weekend with four senior and six intermediate ties to be played. Niamh Connell start their 2021 campaign at home to Glenfinn on Saturday, with three games to be played on Sunday, including McCool's hosting St Michael's. Among the intermediate games is the big battle of Fanad Gaels and Clonmacnoise. Well, after the saga around the 2020 final, controversy has once again raised its head with Bundoran lodging an objection on their defeat to Ardragh last weekend, claiming six subs were used during the tie at Pierce Memorial Park. GA writer with the Donegal Democrat, Peter Campbell, feels the situation will be cleared up before round two starts.
If you're looking at it from outside Donegal, it must look very strange that we're in this situation again. A couple of weeks after, as you say, what happened in the 2020 county final. I was in Ardragh on Sunday at that game, and there was a bit of controversy and something happened towards the end of the game. I'm not too sure about the outcome of the appeal. I suppose it's sub judice at this stage. It will be heard. It mightn't be as clear-cut as the Niamh Connell Kilcar game. But, you know, it's another game that's ended in controversy. And with 1 point between them at the end, a very, very close game. Always, I suppose, it has always been a very close game between Ardragh and Bundoran in recent years. And a late goal involved again as well, with Stephen Boyle getting it. But hopefully it can be cleared up, because we don't want this disrupting the championship. And I know that the teams are not out again until the week after this. So I think they have time to clear it up, and it will be cleared up.
Yeah, hopefully it's not going to linger on like the way the Niamh Connell situation is. We've seen last week, Peter, Kilcar needed a big second half performance to come through against St Unions. Maybe what was happening off the field in relation to the 2020 county final in the saga, which still hasn't been finished, played a part in their first half performance. Niamh Connell will be saying that they are starting the defence of their title this weekend against Glenfinn. Do you expect maybe what's going on off the field to have any sort of impact on the Niamh Connell boys as they tick to the pitch this coming weekend?
Well, I think they will have looked at what happened last weekend in O'Donnell Park, and they'll want to emulate that. I'd say I can't see them actually losing against Glenfinn on Saturday. They met in the quarterfinal last year and they won by 216 to 5 points. There would be a slight gulf between these teams, and you know, it was a very, very bad draw, I suppose, for Glenfinn to get in the opening game. I expect Niamh Connell to win that game and probably win it comfortably, and you know, put down a marker as well, as Kilcar did.
Yeah, that's the only game at senior level on Saturday, but there is three matches to come on Sunday afternoon. None of the big four involved, so at centre stage for the rest of the teams, and two of the sides playing at home south of the gap. St Noel's against Termon first up at 2 o'clock. These games have always been tight between these two sides, and would you expect much of the same this weekend in this one, Peter?
Yeah, I'm expecting a good contest here, because These teams have brought in young players in the last number of years, and you know, I know that we'll say St Noel's would still depend a lot on two non-county players, Stuart Johnson and Stephen Griffin, but they have Padraig Mogan and Brendan McCall back as well from county duty. But they have also brought in three or four younger players from the minor panel over the last couple of years, and you know, in Termin, it's been all change, I'd say, as you would know, over the last 3 or 4 years. And like, it's nearly a completely new team. I saw them in Ballyshannon earlier this year. And, you know, they're starting to come together. And Francie Friel is probably a project for them to bring this team back to, you know, to become competitive at senior level. And they have a lot of young players like Jack Alcorn, Jamie Grant. Ryan McFadden has been particularly impressive in the middle of the field. Bobby McGettigan, and probably they'll be relying on Darrow McDade to take, you know, to take the bulk of scores, especially from the ground. Yeah, it's very, very hard game to call, and I suppose both teams will want to get off on the right foot. St. Olds have to go to Glenfinnan the following week, and I think Termin have St. Union's at home. So whoever can get the 2 points here will be sitting pretty, you know, after the first round of games. Probably with home advantage, you would expect that Knowles might be slight favours, but I don't think there'll be much in it.
Yeah. The other two games, some people will say McCool's against St Michael's is probably the standout tie of the weekend, but and the part of the county where Ballyshannon and Donegal Town are going to collide on Sunday afternoon, some would say that that's the big game of the weekend. It's been a while since Four Masters and Éireann Ballyshannon clashed at senior level in the Donegal Championship, and there'll be a bit of bragging rights from this one down your way, Peter.
There was indeed, and you know, they were operating in different leagues this year as well. Four Masters have gone back; they were down to Division 3, and for a while they were actually struggling there. But they seem to have got their act together towards the end of the league. You know, they have, you know, county all under 20 county star Richard O'Rourke, and they have big Kevin McBertie in the middle of the field. And young forwards like Killian Faulkner and Shea Travers up front, they probably will be underdogs on Sunday, you know, given that Éireann have been quite good this year and got promotion to Division 1, won all but eight of their nine games in the top and Division 2. And they're a team that don't really have any stars, but they have a lot of good players. Eddie Lynch and Colin Kelly have been excellent in defence and have been there for the last 3 or 4 years at centre half back and full back. I don't know whether they'll have Peter Boyle back in goals. He's been missing this year due to injury, but Carol O'Brien has been a very good replacement. And you know, they have the McGraths around the middle of the field and Nathan Boyle, and Philip Patton has been their scorer in chief, a bit like Darragh McDade of Termin, and David Dolan is back from injury as well. So Éireann probably would be slight favourites, but you know, probably Barry Dunion will probably play a part for Four Masters, and they have to go to Kilcar the following week, and Éireann have Niamh Connell at home the following week. So again, just like the Knowles Termin game, 2 points from this game will be vital for the teams if they want to make the quarterfinals or make the last eight.
Yeah, McCool's are taking on St Michael's with a 4:30 start in Ballybuffet. Can the hosts make home advantage count this weekend against the side from Croíochta Dunfanaghy?
Well, looking from the outside, this is probably, I think, the standout fixture of the day, because these two teams, you know, have been there for the last number of years. And maybe McCool's, you know, given that they ran Gidor so close last year in the quarterfinal, they might be even actually on the up in the last number of years, while St Michael's have been diminished a little bit, I suppose, with, you know, Colin McFadden and Christy Toy, the influence has waned. And, you know, this could be a shootout between the young guys, Michael Langan and Oisin Gallen. I think McCool's have a great chance. Now, they probably didn't perform that well during the league, but they were the one team that beat Éireann when they needed to win a game, and they didn't have Oisin Gallen at that stage. So you would expect that they might be slight favourites. I saw St Michael's playing Bundoran, and they weren't going that well until Michael Langan came on, but once he came on, he ran the game. And on that type of form, I think St Michael's will fancy themselves. But again, I think it's a very, very close game to call. If I was put on the spot, I'd probably say maybe McCool's by a point.
Yeah. Just moving on to the Intermediate Championship, Berter taking on Convoy, Mallon against Nivora, both those games on Saturday. There's a further four games down for decision on Sunday. Dunloe, who had a big one last weekend, are heading off to Red Hughes and will look to build on that, while Neve Breed are playing Neve Ulton. But I think, Peter, it's fair to say the two standout games this weekend in the Intermediate Championship involve one of the teams that played in the final and lost the final the last 2 years and suffered a shock defeat. They're calling it against Neve Columba last week. That's Clohanaeli, who will look to bounce back at Fannad. And then Neve Columba are hosting Buncrana. So those two games at Fannad and Neve Columba, think of the standout ties at Intermediate this weekend.
Yeah, there would be. The one in Fannad is probably a very, very important one for Clohanaeli. You know, when Fannad won their first game away to Convoy, so they have points on the board. Clohanaeli, as you say, probably one of the favourites for the Intermediate title. These two sides met last year as well in Fannad, and there was just a goal between them. Clohanaeli got over the line. I think Paul Sweeney may have got a goal that day, and he's been a goal scorer on a regular basis for Clohanaeli. But, you know, Fannad are in a good position in the fact they weren't that impressive, I suppose, beating St Mary's of Convoy last week, but they do have points on the board. So if Clohanaeli want to be, I suppose, in the shake-up, they know that they're going to have to get points on the board soon. I know in the Intermediate, you know, if you can get two wins, you will probably be okay to make the quarterfinals, because 8 of the 12 go through. But, you know, they wouldn't want to be waiting for the last two games to be picking up points. So I expect that they'll be putting in a big performance on Sunday. And they were missing Jason McGee last week, a red card that was carried over from last year's county final. And with him back, you know, you would expect that they might be too good for Fannad and probably will get back in the race. The other game, as you say, probably the game of the day in Martin and Ale in Glencolum Kill. And these two teams, Neve Columba and Buncrana, they won their opening game. So that, I suppose, takes a little bit of the pressure off. But no doubt there'll be a bit of bragging rights, I suppose. Buncrana would feel that they are real contenders for the Intermediate Championship, having won the Junior a couple of years ago. And like, they have the players to contend. They lost out to Clohanaeli last year in the semi-final. But, you know, you could arguably say that they have improved. And, you know, the main men, McGonagall and Jigger, got the goals last weekend against Spurt. And for Neve Columba to travel to Clohanaeli and get the result, that was a big, big win. I know they lost Finn Gallagher to a red card, and he'll probably be missing this Sunday. But at home, maybe in more recent times it's been easier to get points in Glen, but there was a time when if you went to Glen in the championship, you wouldn't be expecting to get much. And I think that they'll probably get over the line against Buncrana on Sunday, but these two teams will still be involved when it comes to the quarterfinals.
Peter Campbell talking to me earlier today about this weekend's championship action. Of course, you can tune Highlands Way. We will have coverage from all four of the senior football championship matches this coming weekend here in Donegal. And the action is going to start on Friday night. Three junior hurling championship games down on the schedule. St Unan's will play Satanta. Dunloe to go on four Masters. And Aru Ballyshannon are up against Letterkenny Gaels. There's also Donegal senior lady championship matches this coming weekend, Sunday at 11 o'clock, Mavill play Termon and St Noel's take on Glenfinn. While at Intermediate level on Sunday, Ardra are playing Convoy and Neve Mora are taking on Milford. Well, the Derry Club Championship continues this weekend with a second round of group games at senior and intermediate level. The big match is on Saturday afternoon as the holders at senior level, Slochneil, take on Lave. Lave surprisingly lost their round one tie at the hands of Swatra. GA correspondent with the County Derry Post is Michael McMullen. He told me Slochneil will be a huge test for the Lave men, and the defeat for them last time out caught everyone by surprise.
It definitely was. Lave had been going really well, playing a very exciting brand of football, and they were on the cusp of winning the league. But they conceded their last game to Newbridge. You know, I think they were talking about injuries and different things, but they conceded it, and maybe they lost a bit of momentum going into the championship. From watching the game, Swatter were full value for their win. Oisin McWilliams was excellent, and overall, you know, they deserved it, and it leaves Lavi playing a wee bit of catch up. Oisin, it's, as you know, it's not knockout, but the groups do help.
Yeah.
The further up you finish in your group, you know, potentially the better a knockout game you're going to have. So they're playing catch up now.
Yeah, and they're in the same group as Slocknoil, the defending champions.
Yeah, and they meet this weekend, which is definitely a big game for Lavi. They met in the league actually quite recently, and Lavi bossed the first half and looked very impressive. And then Slocknoil turned the tables in the second half to win it. But they're a team, you know, you saw them yourself, Austin, against Terman with the Miners. You know, they're coming with an exciting bunch of young players, but you know how quickly it takes to bed that into the real world of senior, I suppose, is the place they find themselves now.
Yeah, I suppose at times when you get a fantastic group of young men, that there's all of a sudden there's a very quick expectation of them, isn't there, Michael?
Aye, there certainly is, and you know they haven't just came with one team; they've been backing it up year after year, and they're back in the minor final again against Maher Felt. So. And you know the Lavi haven't won a championship since 1983, which is Boxing Day 1983 in the snow, and it's a long time for a club like Lavi. So they'll be mad to get back to the top table. I feel they will get there, but the Swatter game probably sets them back a wee bit in the fact that they're maybe lacking that wee bit of physicality around the middle that you know younger teams don't have, but. If they ever got their hands on that John McLaughlin Cup, I think they'll get their hands on a lot more.
Well, they've got a real test ahead of them this weekend against the holders, Slocknoil. As you say, they met in the league recently, but this is championship football, and Beg's going to be the venue for it. And if you really want to see where you are, Michael, there's no better way to test yourself against the boys who won the Cup last year.
Definitely not. And that's where I think that the Swatter game has, you know, trip them up a wee bit, because if they went into this game with a one under their belt, they would see themselves as, let's test Slocknoil and see actually where we are against them. But now it's nearly, you know, it's not the one a must win game, but they'll finish third if they don't win it, and that's as simple as that. But Slocknoil are going fairly well. During the league they didn't have all their players, but and that was saw as a wee bit of a disadvantage because the split season model. But the thing about Slocknoil is they've been playing together that long that it's nearly like flicking a switch again that they're all back together, and it's a big, big test for Lavi, definitely. But I feel Slocknoil will come through it.
Yeah, there's a couple of other big games this weekend as well. Before we look at those, who really are the sort of pretenders to the title of Slocknoil? Who's there that can really take them on and give them a run towards the end, Michael, do you feel?
I think Glenn very much have been talked about. They've got, I suppose it's been written and spoken about so many times how much they've dominated underage, but they've got Malachy Rourke in as manager this year, and he's brought Ryan Porter with him. And, you know, even in itself, that's a massive coup. They were in the final 3 years ago, which means they've been on the big day and have been, you know, they've tasted that defeat in the big day. So that has to bring you on a wee bit more. They will be huge contenders. They're not firing all cylinders at the minute, but to be fair, October is the real month when the championship starts, whenever it's real and somebody can get knocked out. I think it's, you know, they're the two main contenders for me. Then you're into like Maher Felt, Lavi, you know, Swatter, Loop, whoever can jockey themselves into a championship run. You know, that's the sort of the way it is. But and in that too, I see Slocknoil as favourites at the moment.
Yeah. Well, Glen are playing Kilray this coming weekend after an opening round victory against Ballaghy. But a couple of other standout ties, as we said. Ballaghy are playing host to Maher Felt. Bit of a derby up there as well, so does in Group D. But there's a lot can happen off the back of the result of this one, Michael.
There can, because again the positions mean a lot towards the knockout side of things. Maher Felt won the title 2 years ago, final last year. It's Adrian Cush's fourth season with them. They haven't been going well this year, but they've got a win under their belt. They beat Kilray. They probably could have won by more. By all accounts, they missed a few goal chances. They haven't clicked, but if they could get a win over Blahe, it puts them back in the race again. Blahe played Glenn in the first game. They struggled. They struggled around the middle, actually. Glenn won all 11 of their kickouts, and Glenn won half of Blahe, so Blahe were basically living in scraps. From a Blahe point of view, they've won 21 championships. It's the most in Derry. But they haven't won a knockout championship game. They'll hate me saying this again, but they haven't won a knockout championship game since 2015, you know, for a club of that magnitude. So I'm sure that's something they'll be aiming for in October. And it means that if they could get a result against Maharfelt, it would fair turn their season around, so it would. But I would have to say they had a consistent league. They finished third in the league after getting by tanked by Balahi in the first round. So they have had a good, consistent season, Balahi. But this is a big test for them.
Well, other standout games. If somebody said to you a number of years ago that Newbridge would be beating Ballanderry in the championship, as I said beforehand, we'd on this interview, Michael, would be seen as a surprise, but it's not the case now. And Newbridge are looking to follow that up with another victory. They're playing Owen Ruaidh Coleraine over the weekend and Owen Beg on Sunday afternoon. So there.
I just touch on that game. I was at that game, and Newbridge were comfortable. They always looked comfortable against Ballanderry, I felt. Ballanderry didn't score from play until stoppage time, which is not like Ballanderry. When they were top dogs in Derry, they had a forward line on the bench that would get on most senior teams. You know, that was how scary they were. But, you know, things have changed and they're very much in transition. Newbridge, actually managed by Killian Conlon, a Ballanderry man, he goes in against Coleraine. I watched Coleraine a couple of times this year, Oisín, and they took a couple of hammerings. And you're starting to wonder, are they on the wane? You know, their team's not getting any younger. But they were excellent against Banagher. Lorcan McMullen up front and Kieran McGoldrick were both excellent. And, you know, they put themselves back in the mix again, I would have to say. The Newbridge team is very, very young. They've started to get people back into the Derry scene again. Paddy McGrogan, Conor Doherty from Newbridge. Mark Doherty, who was on the minor team. So they've done a lot of good work at their underage, getting players playing grade A underage football again. And they're an exciting team. You talk about a team that's trying to make progress. You can fire Newbridge into that bracket as well. And to beat Ballanderry was a good result for them, because last year they lost to Ballanderry after extra time and an absolute epic. But if they could beat Coleraine this weekend, which isn't beyond them by any matter of means, it would be a great step in their development, and I wouldn't rule it out. I actually put it down for a draw. I couldn't call it, to be honest. Wee interesting sideline that Newbridge, you know, when you're talking about the Niall Morgan factor and the Cluxton factor and the goalkeeper factor, They put their midfielder Nathan Rocks into goals for his kickout, and I think he won all but three kickouts against Ballanderry. So that's something that they feel they need to try and, you know, give them a wee bit of an advantage around the middle. So again, I'm looking forward to that one. A draw. I don't know where I changed my newspaper prediction now that we're sitting talking about it. I'm looking forward to going to see it, put it that way. Point or two either way, still sitting on the fence.
Yeah, well, that's another highlights to look forward to in the senior championship. What's the standout game in the intermediate this weekend, Michael?
I think it's Drumshern and Greenlough. Drumshern won the league and played a great brand of football. I would have to say through it, I saw them playing two or three times. And Greenlough won the championship last year. And Greenlough lost their midfielder Niall Bradley to a very serious knee injury, but they have Niall Loughlin and Enda Lynn both back fit again, and they brought in a young fella, Patrick Feeney, from Moneymore. He transferred to them, which gives them an extra attacking boost, and Stephen Bradley, so they would probably be fancied again to come through an intermediate level. Steve's Town were beaten in the final last year, but this one with Drumshern and Ossian would be, it'll be a good game, and I wouldn't rule them out. I wouldn't rule out a meeting further down the line in a semi-final or a final. In the previous round of the intermediate, there was a wee bit of a, story where Derek Trasna didn't field in the intermediate because of sort of player unavailability and COVID and that type of thing, which means that in Derry, actually, you have three groups and the three winners go into the quarter final and the best runner up. And because of that concession, score difference goes out the window. And potentially the runner up in that group could have a high score difference because they're playing Glack and Derry Trasna, teams that are in the junior level. So it hasn't gone down too well, you know, that has happened, but the CCC don't really have any choice. You know, they can't really do anything else about it, so it's gone down to score average over the game. So whoever wins this one here is definitely into the quarter final. And the thing about it is, actually, next year's leagues depend on championship.
Yeah.
So if Drumshern fail to make the quarter finals of the championship, they'll actually be relegated to junior football despite winning the intermediate league.
Right,
and
yeah.
Greenock could be the same. So, you know, that's an extra wee incentive for Drumshern and Greenock this weekend. But I probably think Greenock will maybe come through it.
That's Michael McMullen of the County Derry Post. The championship action this weekend in Derry starts tomorrow with two games in the Intermediate Championship. Fochan Vale are up against Slochmanis and St Malachy's Castle Dawson will play Glenullen. Both of those games on Friday start at 8 o'clock. As for the Senior Championship matches, there is four down for decision on Saturday. Dungiven against the Loop, Swatra play Clody, Slochneil against Lavey and Ballaghy against O'Donovan Ross and Mahra Felt. While on Sunday, there's a further four games to come. It's four Glen against Ballinascreen, Newbridge against Owen Rue, Coleraine, Ballinderry play Banagher, and Coleraine are taking on Glen. Now to soccer. It's back to the FAI Cup tomorrow night, Friday, for Fin Harps. The Ballybuffet side host Dundalk in a quarter final of the competition. It'll be a welcome break away from the league action for the two sides, who of course are battling for survival in the bottom half of the table. At Harps Dundalk Cup game tomorrow evening is live here on Highland. We'll have the build up from just after 10 to 8 with full match commentary to come with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle in association with BNS Credit Union Main Street in Ballybuffet. I've been speaking to former Fin Harps captain Keith Cowan on this week's preview. We've been looking ahead to that game. But first of all, Keith gave us his thoughts on Monday's Harps defeat at the hands of Bohemians.
I suppose, first of all, it was a great game of football. Really end-to-end stuff. I thought maybe Bo should have been out of sight. They had a couple of great chances. They spurned a couple of great opportunities. Gerard Doherty making his first league start did really well, you know, for them on a couple of occasions. I thought had they taken their chances, maybe, as I say, maybe they should have been out of sight. Harps did really well to dig it out, you know, to stay in the game at 2-0. And, you know, once they got their equalizer, it was game on. Ryan Rennie's, you know, picked up a great, across from Webster. He's coming around the back post like he should be, and he was there sticking the back of the net. Great finish from him. But yeah, they did well to stay in the game. Did they deserve a point? Maybe at the end through their opportunities, but I thought maybe Bowes over the full course of the 90 minutes deserved the 3 points.
Yeah, so it didn't happen on Monday night for them, but listen, they're going to get refocused for a cup game today and obviously looking to make home advantage count, as you know, in the competition. If you get home advantage, you're always in with a shout of progressing, Keith.
It's a massive opportunity for Harps. You know, when the draw was made, I think we mentioned it before that Dundalk would not have wanted to come up to Ballybuffet for a cup match, especially the way things are going. And years gone by, you know, they've always done really well up there. You know, I was on the wrong side of a few hidings myself to the good Dundalk teams over the years. But I think this one, you have to look at Harps as slight favourites. Yes, Dundalk are the current cup holders. They're not going well in the league. The cup, I suppose, is a bit of a reprieve from them. They were beat on Tuesday night by Sligo. They were beat at the weekend by Longford, you know, the bottom side Longford. the manager, Vinnie Perth, he said, you know, they're in a dark place and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, which I'm not too sure about. But we all know the Dundalk of old, this is not them. You know, they've got injuries, they've got suspensions. It'll be a difficult game for them coming to Baba Fey. Finn Harps team at the minute going really well, full of confidence. They'll be looking forward to the game. But again, it's the cup. It's a one-off. So it'll be a game that Dundalk will be looking for to maybe lift their season, to save their season. You know, they need European football. We know what their budget is in terms of the players that they'll have to, you know, although they'll be looking to bring in maybe, and, you know, some of the ones that we talked about are leaving. So, yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity for Harps, as we said, and hopefully they'll come out on top on Friday night.
Yeah. How do you go about beating this current Dundalk team then? What will Harps have to do on Friday night? Because Ollie will have a fair idea, because they've had a good crack at them already this season, so they have, Keith.
Yeah, you know, Harps won the first one up in Dundalk early on in the season. I think it was maybe the second game of the season. Since that, since they played, it's been the last game that Dundalk actually won in the league was the 17th of July, which is against Harps. So, you know, Ollie will remind them of that. I'm sure he, as he does on numerous occasions, will, you know, be telling them to keep their feet in the ground, not to be getting carried away. But the style of football that Harps are playing at the minute really does, you know, as we could have been guilty of in the past of maybe playing a more direct style of football, and it wasn't easy on the eye. And yeah, sometimes it got results, but the way they're playing at the minute, they're playing through the lines. You know, Barry McNamee in the middle of the park is pulling the strings, and he's feeding Owalabi, and he's, you know, getting Ryan Rainey in behind, and, you know, really are playing a nice brand of football. So I don't think they'll try and change things too much. I think they'll just try and keep doing what they're doing. On the other hand, Dundalk seem to be beating themselves, as much as, you know, we go through their team and, you know, on paper, probably a stronger team, but as we all know, it's not played on paper, it's played on the pitch. So, with the way that both teams are going, we expect, Harps to edge it. Just keeping doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Does Ollie Horgan, given the fact that they're in a fight in the bottom half of the table, yes, things are looking good at where they are at the moment of staying up in the Premier Division. Does Ollie change things about and make sure that he has his strongest starting 11 on the pitch on Friday night? Or does he look to the next game, which is coming up the following weekend, which he probably sees as more important being a league match? And added into that as well, Keith, given the fact that he said it, going into the busy week of three games, it's always the third game of the three that can be their downfall. So what does he do tomorrow night?
I think Ollie might say that on the outside, but I think very much so, and I'm sure it'll be spoken about during the week. We talk about opportunities in football. This is a massive opportunity to get to a cup semi-final. We look at the teams that are left in the draw. You know, yes, Bowes are there. They play Maynooth. You know, you think that they're going to get through that tie. You know, Pats will play Wexford. UCD will play Waterford. You know, there's a massive opportunity when you think of teams that are left in the draw. Harps have beaten all these teams in the league array this year. So they need to be looking. I'm sure they won't look past the first game. Okay. They won't look past Dundalk at the weekend because it's a massive opportunity. You have to be organized. Everyone's head has to be on for that one. But I think maybe leave the league for a week. They've done so well in the league up to now. They've got themselves out of a hole. You know, let's talk about a couple of months ago that they would have taken a relegation playoff, no problem. Now we're looking up the way. Now Harps are looking up the way. And I think maybe take a break from the league for a bit. You know, they've done, you know, they got a point in Derry, yes. You know, you would have rather had 3 points being in a winning position. Still playing well, you know, not picking up a point against Bowes, you know, respect for Bowes, which are a top team as well. But I think, you know, Harps very much and the players will be looking to get into the semi-final of the cup, yeah. Definitely.
You never know. Could be the year that Harps get back to a cup final, Keith. But there is going to be changes, as we know. Dunleavy's not going to be available. Seymour's not going to be available as well. Mark Anthony McGinley's due back on the scene after suspension. So Ollie will be making changes. Who do you think will come in?
Well, yeah, we saw the two lads pick up knocks there on Monday night. You know, Will Seymour's been a massive part of what Harps have been doing over the last, you know, couple of months. He's been really good. You know, he's been full of energy in the middle of the park, driving them forward, really good on the ball. You know, some of the goals that some of the really good goals that Harpsworth scored in the last couple of weeks, he's been a part of those. So he'll be a massive miss for them. We look at the options that Harps had to go on. I think Mark Hoy didn't start the game the last night, so he'll be able to come in. You know, we've seen Adam Foley maybe not come into the middle of the field, but he's been played on the left and he's been played on the right, so he's an option. Ryan Rainey, we know, has been playing really well. Ryan Connolly wasn't on the bench the last night, so obviously question marks over his fitness. Dan Hawkins has started really well since he came in. And the break, will he get his place back? He's picked up a knock, but hopefully he should be back in. So, and then you have Stephen Doherty as well that made a few appearances throughout the season. So he will have options, you know. And again, a cup game is a nice opportunity maybe to throw somebody in, you know, and sort of make a name for themselves. So we'll see how they go, but there is definitely options there.
Yeah, options there, but obviously Ollie would like to avoid any further injuries going forward into to another key period.
100%, yeah, you know, I suppose one there that he wouldn't want to have lost is Johnny Dunn Levy, who has been doing really well, you know, over the last couple of games, and, you know, as a versatile player, he can operate almost anywhere along the back line. He, you know, has been deployed in the middle of the park, you know, in the last couple of weeks. So he'll be a big loss for them. And you know, he's a big presence and he's a big voice in the dressing room as well. So he'll be one that they'll be wanting to get back as soon as possible.
Okay, just those other three quarterfinals have been played. Bohemians against Maynooth University, St Pat's against Wexford. I think everybody's going to agree that Bowes and St Pat's are going to come through those two matches, and they have, of course, of home advantage. But UCD, who are going not too bad in the first division, obviously a former man at Harps, Sam Todd, is a big part there and has been scoring goals as well, I understand. They're hosting Waterford. That's a game that UCD can cause an upset on, Keith.
Yes, UCD are going really well. You know, they're second in the table at the moment. They're joint second with Galway. Shelburne seem to be running away with that first division. They're 10 points clear. But, yeah, you know, UCD always play a really attractive brand of football. You know, they've got a nice big pitch down there, the UCD Bowl. They'll be looking to cause an upset. Waterford going really well as well. You know, it's kind of cat and mouse between them and Harps, you know, trying to, you know, push on and get out of that, you know, relegation playoff spot that Dundalk are currently in. But it'll be a game that we'll all be keeping a close eye. Yes, we have Sam Todd there as well, you know, that I played a couple of seasons with. You know, he's down there getting his education and doing the right things and still playing a good level of football. That's probably one that would be, you know, it will be a bit of a 50-50. Yes, as we mentioned, Waterford going really well. But yeah, that's the one that might be a bit too close to call.
Okay, and whoever wins that one would probably be what you'd be looking for if you progress to a semi-final, Keith.
Yeah, I suppose if you could avoid Pats and Bows, you know, if it's Waterford or UCD, you know, you think you're in with a real chance there, you know. But then again, you know, Waterford beat, or Harps had Pats there up in Ballofay a couple of weeks ago, beat them 3-1, you know, not at a canter, but, you know, they definitely were deserving of the win that night. As he said, Harps have beat all these teams that are left in the draw, so you have to back yourself. Yes, there's a lot at stake, and you know, it would depend where the game is, I suppose, in the latter stages of the competition. But yeah, and with a real shout.
Yeah. Tell us, when you look at the way Harps are playing the football at the moment, because you mentioned it earlier and the style of football, you, of course, were involved in a period when Harps were playing, I suppose, the dogged type of football and trying to keep teams out. And as you said, at times, it wasn't pretty. When you're watching it now, do you think, Keith, that you would like to be involved in the way that the style of football has been run at Fun Park at the moment at times?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you see, I suppose a lot of those battles, and I suppose we had to, it was slightly different, you know, and it'll be no disrespect to the lads that I was playing with, and I'm sure they won't take any offence, but I think the players there now, this is their strength. Our strength was maybe a more direct style. It was, you know, hassling. It was, you know, physically we were probably dominant, or that's all the way that we would try and impose ourselves in games. This team is a very much a football inside. You look at the players that they have. You look at the Barry McNamees. You look at Will Seymour. You look at, you know, Ryan Rainey, Jordan Musto, players that they have. They're all footballers. They all have a high level of football. So why would you make them play And we look at a couple of months back when Harps weren't getting results. You know, we asked the question: was there a conflict event? Was there conflicts in styles there, where players wanting to do one thing and managers was wanting to do the other? And you know, it seems at the minute that there seems to be some sort of compromise there anyway, because you know the way that they're playing. Yes, they're still going, you know, from the back. The goal kicks are, you know, going high up the park, and they're playing off second balls, but. You know, generally, a lot of the time, they are playing through the lines. They are trying to get the ball in the middle of the field to get it wide, to get the ball in the box. And, you know, I think that this is obviously a style of football that suits this current crop of players very well.
That's Mr. Keith Cowan, former Finn Harps captain, looking ahead to the Cup games, the quarterfinals this coming weekend. Just a reminder, Harps against Dundalk tomorrow night, Friday. It's live here on Highland. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. There is, of course, full programmes of fixtures right across the Northwest soccer-wise this coming weekend. There is a number of games to be played on Saturday in the Voodoo Venue Cup. There is from areas 1 right through to areas 4. They're all starting at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Likewise, full programme as well in the Brian McCormick Cup in the Donegal Junior League. Area Shield matches taking place in Donegal, Gweedore, Letterkenny and Lifford areas. And a lot of places up for grabs. A lot of teams fighting it out to progress through to finals in their respective areas. They will be confirmed come Sunday afternoon. And it's the second weekend as well of the Premier Division action in the Inishowen League on Sunday. Four games down for decision, with the defending champions Alia on the road making the trip to former winners Glengad United, the standout tie this coming weekend. And in the Ulster Senior League, the new season gets up and running league-wise this coming weekend. We have, of course, seen League Cup games being played over the last couple of weeks. But Coghill Celtic, who are going for a record 9 in a row titles, start their league campaign, their league defence, against Letterkenny Rovers on Sunday, and that gets underway at 2 o'clock. Now on to motorsport. It's full throttle this weekend with two rallying events that North West Crews will look to do well in. The Gravel Forest Roads in County Tyrone will host the OMA-based Bushwhacker Rally on Saturday. And then the Cork 20 returns for a single-day event on Sunday with Donegal men Donna Kelly and Declan Boyle competing in Volkswagen Polo R5s. I've been looking ahead to what's set to be a big weekend in rallying with Killian Duffy from On The Pace Note. Maybe we'll touch on the Bushwhacker briefly. It's based out of OMA, and there's been a lot of anticipation and excitement about this one. So there has, and there's a great entry list for it as well, Killian.
Yeah, it's great entry list for it. It was over 100 entries, I think, in about an hour for it. The Bushwhacker, I've always done oats for it, and it hasn't been ran in 2 years, but certainly the two-year break has helped the forest. They're in absolutely fantastic shape, condition-wise, for the crews. Leading the way is Cathal McCourt. He was the previous winner of the event. It'd be very familiar stages, although they've mixed it up. There's a good bit of tarmac in the event this year. On the third stage, some long sections of tarmac. So that'll be making it interesting, particularly on gravel tyres. But again, a lot of the people are familiar with the gravel parts of the stages. I'll pick a winner, be tricky enough. I'd say Cathal McCourt has to be favoured. Patrick O'Brien then is in his Evo. Now, unless he appears in an R5, I know Gary Jennings is out as well. Also, Vivian Hamill was out last weekend, Galloway Hills. Jason Mitchell, new to rallying, he won't be far away. Martina Samsonas as well, from Lithuania, is out doing the event. He's down in a Lancer. I can't see any of the Group N sort of traditional cars matching or beating the R5 cars, even though it is a very fast event. They won't be far away, but I would say it'll be hard to look past sort of Cathal McCourt, Vivian Hamill, James Wilson even. You know, he's done a couple of events this year. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting event.
Yeah, Donegal men obviously involved Paddy Robinson sitting with Derek McGarty. Joseph McGonigal has Mark McGeehan on board in the R5 Fiesta. And we can't forget about the County Tyrone man, Frank Kelly, and his daughter Lauren Kelly. They're sitting in seated 33 for this one. But a lot of Tyrone people are expecting big stuff from Mr. Kelly at the weekend, Killian.
Yeah, again, he won't have it all his own way. David Crossan is showing massive speed across the water in the few events he's done. Paul Barrett, okay, he's in a historic spec car. Frank Kelly, Adrian Hedrington is in a historic car. Shane McGurr, I mean, pick a winner there. It's not easy at all. But definitely David Crossan has been setting a great pace this year. So Frank is going to have it all to do to beat him.
Gary Jennings is doing the Bushwhacker on Saturday. He was on the entry list for Cork himself and Rory Kennedy, but that's not happening now on Sunday. But Cork 20 is back. Yes, it's a single day. They've reduced it to 9 stages, obviously under the current COVID umbrella that we have, Killian, and a lot of restrictions involved. But from our point of view up here, as the crews go to almost the furthest point of the country, Donough Kelly and Declan Boyle, same sort of machinery. And will they be fighting it out at the head of the field, will they, Killian?
Hard to say, to be honest with you. It'll be like, how has the break affected people? I mean, Donna hasn't been out, I don't think, since COVID. I'm sure he has a decent test done. Declan Boyle hasn't been out since Donegal 19. Again, he's in a new car. Like, I would say top 5 or 6 definitely for both of them. Picking a winner again, I would say Murrayan Evans could be the dark horse for it. He just had a win in a three Shires Tarmac event in the UK there a couple of weeks ago. Like, he's the most match fit, along with Callum Devine. Callum Devine as well is going to go well. He's fourth on the road. But again, he's been match fit. He's been doing a lot in Europe. His confidence is going to be up. And it'll be a good race. But again, you know, you have the Moffats. You have such a fantastic entry there. But I would say Murrayan Evans could be just get the jump at the start, and it might be just him or Callum Devine, and I would say it'll be hard to stay with them.
Yeah. What kind of stages are these crews going to expect on Sunday in Cork? Is it traditional Cork 20 event stages?
Yeah, well, like, I suppose traditional ones people think of is around Macroom area, whereas this year it's around Fermoy, Rathcormac. They're very fast stages, very flowing. Bar a section of the second one in the middle that's a bit tricky and tight and narrow, generally the rest is nice, fast, sort of smooth flowing roads. So it'll be interesting the times that the modifieds put in as well, and like, there's what a modified lineup there is.
Yeah, we were expecting Brian Brogan and Damien McGettigan to be out in a modified Escort and fighting it out at the head of the National, but quite a number of crews have new machinery. Brogan is amongst one of them. He's going to go in a 2-litre turbo Skoda Fabia, while Aidan Ray, who we know of course was heavily involved in the Group N cars all down through the years in the Mitsubishi, now he's got himself a Ford Fiesta R5.
He has, yeah, and actually Aidan was out in Argyle there, a tarmac event about 6 or 7 weeks ago in Scotland, and he had a good run there, so he's going to be confident as well starting. Again, the left-hand drive, it'll take some learning, I would say, still probably with his confidence. Brian Brogan's an interesting one, all right, in the Fabia. It'll be interesting to see that car, how it handles. I mean, the Fabia, I presume it's a Super 2000 model, yeah. Good handling car, particularly on medium-speed corners, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes with this turbo engine in it.
Yeah, and it's right-hand drive for him as well.
There's less learning. I think it's hard to get used to the left-hand drive at a certain point of your career.
Yeah. So who do you think is going to be thereabouts come the National at the end of the day on Sunday?
Like, I suppose is Gary Kernan is there. He's going to be quick. James Stafford, he doesn't seem to ever take time to get going after a long break. He just seems to be on the pace straight away. Damien Toner was out in Loughgall. It's hard to say. I would say, to be honest with you, probably I would say Gary Kernan now it'll be hard to live with. I mean, Chris Armstrong's there as well, but Chris hasn't been out since his big accident in Killarney a couple of years ago. So it'll be between Kernan, Stafford and Toner.
Just finally then, you're on the road to Donegal today as I'm talking to you.
Yes, up to do the harvest notes today. So just on the way up here, it's 2 stages with a shakedown on the Saturday around Donegal Town. Looking forward to seeing these stages. They're never easy around Donegal Town, so I'm expecting a bit of a day's work ahead of me.
Killian Duffy there. In cricket, the Interprovincial T20 Series will come to an end this weekend with 3 matches based out of Comber in Belfast. Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we'll see the North West Warriors take on the Northern Knights, the Munster Reds and the Leinster Lightning. The North West Warriors lead the standings going into the final weekend. The Warriors haven't won the T20 trophy in 7 years, but they're looking to change that stat this coming weekend. And not forgetting about the Letterkenny Rugby Boys, they're also set to see action this coming weekend too. They have a win and a loss to their belt in their opening 2 games. They're looking to build on that victory last week. They're on the road against Civil Service in Ulster Championship 3 on Saturday. That one starts at 2:30. And that is it from The Score for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can of course nip over to the sports section of highlandradio.com or Next Sports tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, what's left of it, as always, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.